You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Mitch Casey, and today we are doing a rundown of the preseason and all the takeaways, everything we can learn from it. Let's go.
Jordan, open. Chicago with the lead. Bryant to Shaq.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. It is possible.
G'day and welcome again to the Fantasy, the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. And back again after a couple of solo podcasts for myself, Callum Mack has rejoined the show to talk some fantasy hoops. The guru himself, how you doing, man?
Yeah, doing pretty good, man. Underway with preseason. There's always a few standout candidates when this happens this time of the year. So
yeah,
doing well.
A lot of hot takes being thrown around. We are going to be your guide here to what's real and what's the fake news. What can we worry about? What can we sort of go, okay, let's actually put some stock into this and let's maybe pump the brakes, but maybe get on board the hype train. That's what we'll be talking about here today. But before we get into actual stuff that's happened on a basketball court, two players that have been in the headlines all season. We've got Ben Simmons and we've got Kyrie Irving. Let's touch on Kyrie Irving first because the news has dropped recently that the Nets are not going to be playing him at all, basically. They're not going to be allowing him to be a part-time player for the organization. So either he gets vaccinated and he joins the team like a regular player or he doesn't play, basically, for the Brooklyn Nets, whether or not that means he gets traded, retires. I don't know. I don't know what happens. What are you doing with this information as we, you know, we've got our draft coming up this weekend. What are you doing with this information when it comes to fantasy drafts, Cal?
Yeah, it's obviously pretty negative. I'm pretty much just going to be all off on Kyrie Irving in drafts.
Yeah.
He could be out for the whole season. I think that's a realistic possibility. He's not going to retire. I wouldn't get that carried away. There's been some articles out why he's kind of had his stance, and apparently it is he wants to be the voice for the unheard. He's a bit of a preacher. Yeah. Sure, go for it. If you want to look into that, look it up. But for me personally, I'm hands off. I'm not going to go near him unless it's like a pretty much like a flyer on the outside of the 100.
Yeah. It's so hard because on one hand, I'm like, okay, red flag. He's not going to play a single game. Treat him like, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Jamal Murray and just don't draft him. Or unless you get him like with your last few picks. On the other hand, I'm like, okay, the Brooklyn Nets are making this hard stance that he's not going to play any games. So he's basically not a part of the team. I don't know what that means in terms of money and things like that or anything. I don't know if there's any financial consequences. Although, you know, maybe that doesn't matter, but maybe it pushes him to to get the vaccination. Like, maybe it forces a trade, so he's out, and it gets itself resolved quicker. So on that side of things, maybe it's a positive thing, and we get something, like, figured out sooner rather than later. But I don't know. It's so hard. Right now in my rankings, I just did up my final sort of rankings of the season earlier today, and I've got him around the 80 mark personally right now. More just because I hate that spot in drafts, and there's so many little guys that I actually like drafting. So for me, it's around there, and it's only if all those other guys that I like that go ahead of him are gone, which sometimes doesn't happen. But even then, I don't love it, and it comes with a lot of risk still. You could just be throwing away a pick, but I don't know. That's around the point that I'm happy to draft him in. In Roto, it's probably a bit higher, because you can stomach that. You know, if you get him, he might be there, although it might still just be the entire season, so it's hard to know.
Yeah, look, I agree with your takes. 80 is kind of fair. As I said, I was thinking outside the 100 at this point. But look, you are right. Maybe this will push him to joining the team again. So maybe it is going in the right direction. But
do you think there could be a trade? It's
like one step back, two steps forward. I don't think he's going to get traded, because who's going to trade for him when he's going to threaten not to play? It doesn't really make sense.
Well, the thing is, though, it's...
for Kyrie, it has to be like a contender, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, though, it's only New York and the... the LA cities and Golden State. So, you know, say he goes to, I don't know, Denver, like, he can play all their games there. Like, it's not an issue. It's simply the mandated thing. So there might be a team out there that wants him. Probably not a team that wants to verse the Nets in the playoffs, because then when he's only playing the home games. I don't know. It's so strange. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to wrap my head around it. But at this stage, yeah, avoid. He's probably going to be going off boards before we're comfortable drafting him. On the other side of things, the other talked about player in the preseason is Ben Simmons. Apparently, just rocked up to the Philadelphia 76ers training facility, got his medical done, and was like, "All right, guys, who's ready to play some basketball?" And so yeah, he's back on the team. Apparently, not going to be awkward at all. No, nothing bad was said. What does this do for Ben Simmons' fantasy value? And do you buy this? Is he going to actually play a game for the Philadelphia 76ers? Is it just going to be like this James Harden situation like last year? What's going on here, Cal?
I think it is positive for his outlook, because he's still in the trade market, and that's not changing. He will be traded when a better candidate arrives, I believe. It's just kind of good to know that he will still be playing games, is kind of like what I've gotten from this. So I think it's all overall positive. It'll be similar to what you saw from a Jimmy Butler a couple of years ago in the Timberwolves, how they rested him kind of every third game. And they knew, like, he wanted to get out of there. They knew he wanted to get out of there. It was very much just let him play, make him showcase his skills, get him out of here. Yeah. I think that's headed in the same direction.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, you bring up with the Jimmy Butler situation, where, like, you know, yeah, he was there, but he'll have a few phantom injuries, or he's like, oh, he's got a bit of a sore knee, or, you know, something like...
bruised knee, take him
for
2 days.
That's a good point. I didn't quite consider that when I was thinking about this news. So that definitely is still a risk factor, but it's obviously positive from where he was. I think in a 20-team mock draft that I did with Josh Lloyd, I got him at peak, like, 72, or 74 or something like that, and I was in a punt free throw percentage build, so at that point, I'm very comfortable drafting him. I think with all the news surrounding him, you can get him at a fairly good discount, so if you can get him outside, you know, 50 or 60, that I think that's good value, because, you know, in a punt free throw, punt threes build, he's a potential top 30, top 25 player, so he's someone that you can get some good value on in the right build. Obviously, if you're not punting free throws, he's probably not worth the risk, at least until much later. But yeah, in those punt free throw builds, he is still someone I am keen on drafting. And there's some rumors out there that when the players who are signed in the offseason are now eligible to trade, I think it's around December 15 or something like that. That's when some more of the trade market stuff is going to heat up. But who knows? Who really does know when the trade will happen at any point? All right, let's go on to a couple of preseason takeaways. We're splitting this up into two sections. We're looking at like the rotation highlights and everything that changes in terms of things we've seen with who's starting, who's not, and what's going on. And so we're starting with that. Let's start over in Cleveland, where it looks like Evan Mobley is going to be starting day one over Lauri Markkanen next to Jarrett Allen. What are your thoughts on Evan Mobley in drafts this year, Callum?
I think this value really improves it because there was some question marks there. And also this is play as well. Like he dropped a 15 point, 10 rebound, 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 block game in 32 minutes. So per minute, that's huge. That's awesome. If he can put up numbers like that, that's going to be absolutely fantastic. Yeah. That's like second round kind of value. Yeah. So I think it's definitely positive. I think the Cavs are realizing that they can play him alongside other bigs. That he can even play some three. You saw him play some three with two other bigs next to him because he's quite mobile. So I think he does have a fair bit of minutes in him. So I think overall, yeah, this is really positive for someone that late in the draft to get blocks, which is really hard to come by because right now he's in the 90s on Yahoo preseason rank. Yeah, 90. So to get someone that late, I think it's pretty good. I'd even be reaching him a bit higher, maybe in the 80s, potentially 70s now.
Yeah, I've got him ranked dead on 80 on my board, so I think he is someone who does present himself a little bit. There's still the risk there. He's still a rookie. He had an awesome night the other night. Not every night's going to be that good, obviously. But just watching him play, man, like this guy is, I know this word gets thrown around, but he's a unicorn. Like his ball handling skills, his passing skills are underrated. The shot, I think, is going to get there. Maybe not this year, but he's got the defense. He's just in fantasy, he's going to tick a lot of boxes. So I hope if you had the second pick in a dynasty draft, you selected Evan Mobley, because I do think that he's going to be a special player down the line. And he could be, look, if he's a top 50 player this year and he just figures it out from the get-go, I wouldn't be totally stunned. He's got that kind of upside just because of his fantasy-friendly game. What do you think this does for Lauri Markkanen's value?
I just think he's just going to have a drop in minutes. So this could even make him undraftable, honestly.
Yeah.
Just because
I'm nearly there with you.
Yeah. I think he's pretty much waiver wire at this point in time. There's injuries with, I don't know, maybe they'll rest Mobley, or there's injuries with their other center. You could have a bit of a flyer, but at this point, I'm not confident drafting him at all.
Yeah. Like you said, they were trying like a few like big lineups with Lauri, Mobley, and Allen out there at the starting lineup together. But I think that was without Garland and Sexland. Without Sexton there, Sexton and Darius Garland there. So Rubio was running the point. Okoro, I think, was at the guard position. So I don't think that's going to be a thing that they actually do in regular season games. So, yeah, I'm sort of with you. I think he's a very late-round guy. He's a three specialist, and he's a center-eligible player that you might, if you're punting like the center position, you can whack into that spot there and give you some threes on a nightly basis. But that's about it, I see, with Markkanen these days. Let's go over to my team, the Boston Celtics, and what's happening in their front court. Robert Williams has started every preseason game so far. Al Horford's first game, he came off the bench, but in an interview, he said he was expects to be starting in the season, and then they started him and Robert Williams together. And it's also since then, Al Horford has also tested positive for coronavirus. So a few things happening there at Boston. What do you think this means for both Robert Williams and for Al Horford's value?
I'll start with Robert Williams. I think this is positive. Potentially, we were debating if Al Horford would steal his starting position, but it seems like they're both going to be plugged in there, which means Robert Williams can still get his blocks, can still get his offensive rebounds, can still get his field goal. Al Horford's a great passer. He does spread the court to some degree, so I don't really think that affects Robert Williams on the offensive end for his field goal. So I think it can work. With Al Horford, I think once again, this is positive because there was talk of him maybe being a sixth man coming off the bench, or I think this kind of concretes in a bit of a role. The COVID stuff, you'd like to think it passes in a couple of weeks. If he misses the first week of the season, that's not a deal breaker in terms of drafting a lot of guys. You know, that's to be expected. So overall, definite pluses, net pluses for both players.
Yeah, I think this is awesome news for Robert Williams, because we were worried about the minutes and things like that. Like, what was he? He was top 80 or something last year in like 19 minutes per game. If he can get like 26 to 28 minutes a night, he is a legitimate top, I don't want to get too crazy here, but a top 30 player per game if he can get those kind of minutes and stay healthy. Just because those blocks, the field goal percentage, he's actually a decent passer. He can get you sort of between 2 and 3 assists a game. The rebounds are going to be there. The field goal percentage is super elite. Some of those things don't all necessarily carry over when you get more minutes. Sometimes it's not a direct correlation. So I do still, we had him in our bus show when he was ranked, I think, 48th. He's now moved back to 55. And with this news of them starting together, I think I would be happy taking him inside the top 50 now. But I wouldn't go crazy. I wouldn't reach inside the top 40. He's in the like mid to late 40s for me in terms of value. Is that sort of where you're comfortable drafting? I know you're a bit lower on him earlier, but does this change your mind?
I think it's a net positive, but I'm still a bit more off him in comparison to yourself. I wouldn't be taking him in the top 50 personally, unless he fits your build. If you're punting points or threes, maybe.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm not completely sold on him. Maybe I'm over the 60 to 70 range for him.
It is something to take in consideration because, yes, points, he's only going to score maybe like 9 or 10 points per game. And it is a big difference between the other guys going around that zone. So like Draymond Green sometimes is around that sort of spot style. As soon as you take him, you kind of put yourself in a bit of a hole there. So do take that into consideration. Even though his value may be higher, it probably drops him down a little bit. And what do you think about Al Horford? Where are you happy taking him? I still think he's still outside the top 100 for me, just because, you know, he's not going to be the focal point. Not going to get as much usage on this team like he did in OKC, even though that shutdown risk isn't there. I think his per game numbers are going to drop compared to that. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree that per game numbers will come down. They did showcase his talent in OKC. He was around about the 60th best player on a per game basis last season, according to Basketball Monster. So that's pretty solid. I expect him to drop. He's always a good guard. He's always a good big to get you some assists, though. And with Marcus Smart essentially running the point is what it's forecasted, they will definitely still run plays through him.
Yeah.
So I would expect his numbers to go down to maybe 12 points, but then he'll also get your 7 rebounds and 3 assists and then close to your 1 steal, 1 block. So it's really the points that might come down a bit. Outside of that, I think it will kind of be maintained. So overall, his value should... I think he's top 100.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I think I view him maybe just after 100, just to take into account maybe some like extra rest days and maybe limited upside. But yeah, I could, if he's, you know, the 90th best player, I'd not be shocked at all. So I think that's pretty standard there. Let's go into another preseason notes takeaway. Time to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves and my guy, Jaden McDaniels. He has been starting, logging heavy minutes at both the small forward and power forward. First couple of games was very quiet. Last game, much better, was much more aggressive. What are your thoughts on Jaden McDaniels, and has your thoughts on him changed at all in the last month or so since we've been talking about him? And also, who do you think is going to be the fifth starter there? They've tested out Okogie, Beasley, and Vanderbilt in 3 different games. Who do you think eventually gets the job?
So firstly, Jaden McDaniels, I think where he's ranked right now, 105, I was a bit more off him than yourself. But yeah, but looking at potentially what he could perform with blocks, I'm kind of coming around to it just because he's got the minutes and it looks like he's locked into that power forward. So I'm kind of happy just in that 105 kind of spectrum, give or take, you know, plus minus 10. I'm okay with that. Yeah. The starting five, I think, is a good question between Vanderbilt, Beasley, and Okogie. I'm starting to get the impression maybe they're going to set Beasley off the bench as a 6 man and go with Okogie just to have a bit more size, just because this lineup is going to be great offensively. Defensively, we'll struggle. Maybe they just want to lock in Okogie from over defensive presence outside of Beasley. But look, things could change. I'd flip a coin between those two. I don't think Vanderbilt will get it personally.
Yeah. Do you think there's any value in either one if they do get it?
I think Beasley definitely could get talent because I mean, the man dropped 20 points a game.
He did.
And to drop 20 points a game in the NBA is pretty tough. So even if he's a bench role, he could put up 18 points a game, or he could do similar numbers potentially to a Jordan Clarkson. If he gets the starting role, I still think it'd probably be around the 18 points a game because there's more shots to go around. But I think he's definitely ownable out of the three.
I honestly think that he could be better if he's coming off the bench personally, because he's going to have all the usage to himself when he's going to be sharing the court with Kat Edwards and D'Angelo Russell on the starting lineup. So I think the Timberwolves should start Okogie, and then they should bring Beasley off the bench as like a sixth man. But whether or not that happens, I'm not sure. He is one dimensional in terms of points and threes, maybe some free throws percentage are like his categories. We've seen that in the past with a few other guys like Jordan Clarkson, etc., those sort of types. So I would view him very similar to those guys, but with a bit of question mark with his role, maybe a bit further down than some of those guys. So fine guy to draft. I just don't know where the upside really is with a few other guys moving ahead of him in the pecking order compared to last year, and Edwards and all that sort of type taking a step forward. So and Okogie, yeah, don't care. Starts, don't care. He's not going to be good at fantasy. Yeah, and in terms of who are we talking about? Jaden McDaniels. Yeah, I think I like around that spot, although I think that there are, compared to some of other guys who are like my guys earlier in the preseason, a lot of them have sort of lifted. We'll talk about a few later, and he's kind of just doing his thing. So while I think he's fine around that spot, I think that there are guys ranked lower, especially on Yahoo, that I would be more happy to reach for than a Jaden McDaniels. I'm not reaching for Jaden. If he falls to me, then I'm happy to get him, but I'm not super enthused to grab him inside the top 100 to maybe what I thought I would have been earlier. Let's move on. What else have we got going on in the NBA? Let's head over. Oh, talking about a few hype guys. Kyle Anderson looks like he's moving to the bench in Memphis, and also Dylan Brooks looks like he's going to miss the first couple of weeks of the season. So looks like we might get a starting lineup that includes Desmond Bane and D'Anthony Melton, at least for the first couple of weeks while Brooks is injured. But even when Brooks is back, the fact that Kyle Anderson is now starting on the bench, Brooks goes over to the three, we're going to get a starting lineup of Bane or Melton there. Who do you think takes the job in the long run, and how do you value both of these players?
Look, I think I have a feeling that you're going to go Melton, because I know you're a fan. I'm actually a big fan of Bane. I like Desmond Bane.
Fair enough.
He's a great 3 and D guy. He's big. He only really dropped in the draft last year because of his age.
I think his wingspan was another thing as well.
Yeah, but like, look, the man, he's a big body. He's still 6 foot six. So
He's got those semi-Ogilvy biceps.
He does. He really does. He's a big boy. He's definitely a big boy. And the Mekin, he's got a great shot. He can hit the three. I think they're going to go a bit more of the youth movement this year. And I think his ceiling could be pretty high. Look, he's still only 23. He slid in the drafts because he was 22. I mean, fair enough. But he can definitely grow. He got some good minutes under his belt last season. This could be a breakout year for him. You could have a bit of a fire in deeper drafts. Maybe I could recommend it maybe in 14-team drafts. Otherwise, I'd add him to your waiver wire.
Look, I was tweeting about this earlier. I'm doing a cash roto league at Hoopball. I drafted both of these guys. I drafted them both back to back with each other with my last starting rotation spot and my first bench spot. So I think that they're both draftable players. I have Melton higher just because his stat set is more diverse. He gets you steals. He gets you decent blocks from the guard position. He can get you some more assists, I think, than Desmond Bane. I think Bane's going to give you lots of threes, the points are going to be decent, and the efficiency is going to be okay. So if you value low turnovers and good efficiency, then he's going to do all right there. But I think both of them are worth grabbing. I do think Bane gets the starting job long-term. I think he's going to be the starting two guy, and Melton comes off the bench. But I think Melton only needs 26, 28 minutes a night, and he's going to be a bit of a fantasy beast. So I am happy to draft them as soon as it ticks over into the hundreds. Maybe Bane closer to 120, 130, because he doesn't have that per-minute upside that Melton does. Are you happy with those sort of... like, is that sort of similar, or are you a bit further back on Melton? Are you probably closer to 120 with Melton as well?
I'd probably go a little bit further outside, maybe 130 to 140, just because we know Brooks will be coming back and he probably will demand minutes.
Yeah, and he does like to jack up shots, as we know. Let's go one more major thing to talk about here. It looks like Eric Bledsoe and All-Star Reggie Jackson are going to be the starting backcourt over in Clipper land. One of the guys we did highlight was Terrence Mann as a potential breakout slash flyer guy. Do you still like Terrence Mann, or have you sort of soured a little bit on him after hearing this?
I still kind of like him. I actually think he is a six-man potential candidate in terms of... I think he could put up numbers. I think I can see him closing games. They like that small ball lineup. They did it in the playoffs. Maybe they'll go with more of the traditional big lineup and go to the small ball stuff, similar to what Golden State have done in previous years. So I still think the minutes will be there. And that's the main thing for fantasy. I could see him putting up 18 points a game. Honestly, if everything goes right, he could. And he could even steal a starting role from someone. We know Bledsoe and Reggie seem to always kind of have injuries throughout every season as well. So I dare say he will be starting a fair few games regardless.
You and I are not the biggest Eric Bledsoe fan. He was our all washed player of 2021 last year. So we're not the biggest advocates for Eric Bledsoe. So maybe a slight biased opinion there. But I agree with you. Like I said a little bit about Jaden McDaniels, a few other guys have elevated themselves and proven themselves and proven the hype. So they've lifted themselves up. Terrence Mann has come down a little bit for me. So for me, I think he's a fine last round pick, maybe second last round pick if you need to. But I wouldn't be reaching higher than that.
All right, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I'd be doing like a five than the second to last round as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about, okay, this is probably the guy. He's probably going to be the thumbnail of this video. Let's talk about one of the highlight performances of the preseason so far. Jordan Poole. The man is balling. I'll say that much. And we did highlight him. We have had him in our deep sleepers. So go check those out. But he's surpassing my expectations. He's looking really good out there. The hype is catching up. In a few mocks, he's going pretty high. How high can we take Jordan Poole?
And look, that's a good question. He's been killing it, and I think this is sustainable. He's looking amazing out there. I think he'll complement Steph Curry. Even when Clay comes back, there was talk of, because of his injury, he will be playing a bit more of the three just because he went out that lateral quickness to guard the two. So I think he pretty much slides into that two role. I'm pretty confident in him. I was looking at Yahoo ranks, and he's ranked 111. Which is definitely way too low.
That's moved up, though. I think he was outside the top 150 even just a few days ago.
I think there was a recent update. I was going through it today, and people are definitely moving around still. So they're getting ready for the season to start.
Sneaky Yahoo, huh?
But look, one comparison I would compare him to was your Norm Powell playing for... he was ranked at 74 right now in fantasy. And his output is kind of like the 18 points... You know, four rebounds, bad assists, but, you know, good threes. I feel like if he replicates some of those stats, he's obviously got a better ceiling. So I think that's a good comparison. Look, Norm Powell ranked at 74. Whether that's true, like good ranking or not, I think Jordan Poole right now, his floor is kind of at those stats, right?
Yeah, look, it's so funny you bring that name up because, like I said, I did my like final rankings today and I've got Norman Powell and Jordan Poole back-to-back in my rankings.
It's a great comparison, then, isn't it?
And right now, I've got Poole higher. I've got Poole higher than Norman Powell.
I agree. I'd be doing the same.
Yeah, and now it's not at 70, like it's not at 74. It's sort of halfway between the two. So I'm looking at like the 85 to 90 zone. We want to be careful, though, because you don't necessarily want to go too early. I mean, it's good news that he's moved up to 111, so... Look, I think if you can get him in the 90s, 100, if you you know, you're not with some as savvy owners out there, I think then there's still room for him to grow. But if you start reaching too early in like the 70s, even early 80s, you take away the value, and there is downside. We don't know what it's going to be like when Clay comes back. But right now, he is looking really good. So would you agree with that kind of range?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's I think that's fine. Take him in. I'd be considering him in the 80s, honestly. I think that's where he should be going, around there. And that's because, look, he can be great in points, great in threes. Outside of that, it's probably not elite really anywhere else. He'll get you a few assists as well. But in terms of the point output with those other things, I think he's definitely around the 80 range. Yeah. For a starting point guard, he'll get minutes. That's the main thing, minutes.
He is a bit of a... I'm not sure how much he's going to produce outside of the points and threes and free throw percentage. Maybe he gets some steals and a few assists here and there because there's not too many playmaking on this team outside of Draymond and Steph. So, you know, he might get, you know, three assists or so there. Don't know what the rebounds are going to be like. But, yeah, he's looking really, really good. And, again, we're going to do another podcast with a few awards and his name might come up. Let's go on to the next guy who is creating a bit of buzz, and it's the big guy, your boy, Callum, Mo Bamba. He's put up fantasy stats, and we've always said that we don't like his game, but he puts up fantasy stats, and that's what he's doing right now. He's looked better. I will admit that. I've been watching a few of his highlights. He's been looking better. He's moving a bit better. What are you thinking with Mo Bamba in fantasy this year? Where are you taking him?
The reason I hated Bamba previously was just because the man's like 7 foot tall. He's got the longest arms in the world. He looks like a tarantula out there.
Yeah,
he's like a bigger version of Durant. Yeah. Wingspan through the roof. And all he would do is just want to hit threes.
Yeah.
But now, look, I've seen him getting fed in the post. He's doing some faders. He's doing a bit more. I really like the production that I'm seeing. And with he had a preseason game, I think about 5 blocks.
Yes.
Five blocks, two threes as well to go over 16 and 10. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, I think that was in like 23 minutes or something like that. It was, or something.
Yeah, one turnover in 27 minutes. So if he can get 27 minutes a game, he's a permanent beast. This is what he'll put up, and he could be one of the biggest steals of the draft. So
27 minutes a game. If he gets 27 minutes a game, he's top 60.
Top 50 potential easily.
Top 60, maybe top 50. Like he's got that kind of value just because of the blocks, the threes, blocks, the free throw percentage, the field goal percentage, rebounds, like low turnovers. All he's going to not do is give you steals and assists. And other than that, he's going to do every other category. So, it's tough though. I still think Wendell Carter's the better player, but I don't know.
They can play together. That's the thing. They did start them together as a bit of a trial run. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do that a fair bit. And I feel like they'll probably stagger the minutes anyway. They could start them and stagger, and both of them will end up with about 25 minutes anyway.
Yeah, 25, 26. Yeah, I'd probably see that. So I'm now definitely drafting Bamba ahead of Carter Jr. He's right around 100 for me. Late 90s, 100. Do you sort of see him, or are you earlier?
I'm going a bit higher.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the bandwagon.
I don't mind it. Because like you said, there's upside. There is still plenty of upside there if things go your way. So I don't mind it. Where do you have? Do you have him ahead of like a Daniel Gafford?
I've got him. I actually do, because the uncertainty with Thomas Bryant coming back, and you got Trez Harrell. And Gafford's always had some minute restrictions in terms of he gets into foul trouble.
Yeah.
Bamba. Look, I'm gaining some confidence. I'm going 80s, 90s for myself.
Very interesting. It's funny how the tables turn. It's funny. let's touch on another guy. Now, this is one of my guys here. I think this is going to be like one of my guys this season. And it's OG Anunoby. He's looking aggressive. His rank has increased since he was a massive sleeper, you know, early in the preseason when he was ranked in the 60s, which was ridiculous. He's ranked, I think, what is he now, like 44, I think I last checked, although that might have been different since you seem to think that they've changed some things. Let me just double check.
I think that sounds about right. He was in the mid-40s.
Yeah.
And I still think that's kind of where 45. He... There you go, 45. I'm still kind of okay with that. I think that's where he deserves to be. He will be elite in steals, but the points won't be super elite for other players at that category. The assists won't really be there either. The three should be pretty solid, but look, I think this suits the... 45, like 40 to 50 range, I'm very comfortable with. Yes, he's a young player, but yes, remember Siakam will be coming back.
Yes.
Siakam will demand a lot of touches on the ball as well.
Boucher's coming back.
And they got Scotty Barnes as well, who's been killing it in preseason. I'm a big Scotty Barnes fan. So look, they could all play together, yes, but maybe this combination of Scotty Barnes and Siakam could steal some minutes from him.
I'm going to respectfully disagree, and I think OG is in for a massive season, and I'm very excited about what he's going to be doing. I would be comfortable taking him in the 30s. I wouldn't be shocked if he's a top 25 player this year, just because of his game is so fantasy friendly. He's efficient. He gets steals. He gets blocks. He's going to put up threes. His turnovers are not going to kill you. He's just an excellent fantasy player. Almost, now this might sound blasphemous, but almost reminiscent of like a Kawhi Leonard kind of style. And that sounds like a high level of praise. Now, I don't think he's that good. Obviously, that's really, really hard to sort of live up to. But he's been looking really good, man. Like just watching him play, he's improved a lot. And I am very comfortable taking him in the 30s. I have him, Jaylen Brown, and Michael Porter Jr. all very close in my personal rankings. And in terms of the Yahoo and all those other rankings, there's a big difference in those two. So I think there's, I still think that there's value left in OG. And yeah, he's definitely a poster child for one of my, guys this year.
Yeah, well, with the comparison to Kawhi, in terms of the lockdown defender, he is there, and the steals are there for fantasy. He will be elite there. So once you get him, you can feel a bit more comfortable in that category.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about some old heads. Stephen Adams is looking rejuvenated over in Memphis. What are we doing with Stephen Adams? Are we buying this, or is this fool's gold? What's going on?
I'm actually kind of buying it. Is that is that a bad thing?
Hey, it's not a bad thing. We love Stephen Adams, our Kiwi brethren.
I'm definitely on the bandwagon with Stephen Adams, and I'll explain why. Because Stephen Adams, for all of his career, he played with a Russell Westbrook, who he boxed out and let him take some rebounds.
Fair.
And then last season, he was playing just not in a great fit for him. He wasn't closing some games. Stan Van Gundy was a terrible coach. Zion Williams started playing the point Zion, which is terrible for him because he needs to be in the lane. And he's not like a true point guard either. He just kind of runs in the lane and kicks it out to shooters. So it did not complement Stephen Adams, and now he's playing with Ja Morant, who's crazy agile. He'll set amazing screens in this role. I guess field goal will be huge. He'll get more rebounds. He'll get more points. I think this man can easily average just 10 and 10 on amazing field goal. And where he's ranked right now, I think it's like he's 120. I think he's outside the 120, and I was thinking inside the 120 personally. I think he's about like 140-ish or something. But
yeah,
I'd be looking at him.
Is it 153 on Yahoo? So there you go.
There you go. I'm starting to think like when I get to 100 and if I need a big man, I'm looking at Steven potentially depending on who else is on the board at that point. Cause you know, bigs are hard to come by as well.
I think he'll give you a rebounds early in the season. And because he's playing next to, like if he's starting, next to Jaren Jackson Jr. No rebounds there. It looks like, you know, if they're starting a Melton, Bane, Morant lineup, like there's all four of those players are averaging like under 5 rebounds a game, so all the rebounds are going to Stephen Adams. So he's gonna be an excellent rebound streamer, if anything. Like at worst, look, the free throw percentage is still going to be a concern. I'm not being swayed by his new free throw stroke and it looking nice and shooting well in the preseason. Things can change very quickly, but yeah, look, I think he can be drafted. Sure, there's not much upside. Which is kind of what I'm personally searching for at that point in the draft. In a deeper league, he gets a lot more valuable to me, like a 14-16 team league, because you're still trying to fill out your starting roster at that point. So, look, if you need a rebounder, some solid field goal percentage, sure, go for it. But I don't think he's ever going to be like a league-winning pick or anything like that. Nothing too exciting, which is what I'm trying to do at that point in the draft.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, I think you touched on it before. He's a rebounding streamer. So when you get to 100 and you're like, I really need some rebounds to be competitive, pick up Stephen Adams. He'll be reliable, I think, all year. I think he'll put up around that 100-ish value. So it's not going to be a bad pick. He'll be consistent, I think. So
we'll touch real quickly on the last one. I just want to touch on Bam Adebayo. He is someone who is very easily going sometimes early second, mid second rounds. I just want to throw a flag out there. He has not been getting anywhere close to the amount of assists that we are accustomed to seeing out of Bam early in the preseason. It's a small sample size, but it was something that I was worried about with the inclusion of Kyle Lowry, who's a much better ball handler and playmaker than Dragic was. What do you think? Do you think this is real, or do you think that this is just a small sample size and you're not too worried about Bam's assist numbers dropping?
I think it's a small sample size. I'm not getting too carried away because Kyle Lowry can work pretty well off ball, and so does Jimmy. I still think they'll complement each other. It's not like Kyle Lowry demands the ball from that perspective either. So look, I'm still pretty high on Bam. Like he averaged 5.4 assists last season. Look, maybe that goes down to, but I still think it'll be about 5 or 4.5. It'll still be good for a big man.
Yeah, I still think it'll be a plus for a big man. But yeah, it could get down to maybe 4 per game, I think, you know, and a steal and a half less. And when you're at that height of the draft, it is enough to sort of drop your value a little bit. And I'm seeing him more as like a late second round pick personally. The only problem is I don't really know who I'm replacing him with. I mean, the second round's a bit funny. I don't really know who can crack into that sort of second tier of guys. You know, after your Trey Youngs, Fred VanVleet's, Jimmy Butler's, after that. You know, normally you'd have Zion and Kyrie, but Zion with the foot, I don't know, Vucevic, then you start to get into those big guys, but I think a few of them are going to take a step back, you know, with, you know, a few inclusions with Randall. Vucevic is on, you know, a few different teammates. So Zach LaVine's, yeah, he's going to get knocked back. So I don't know. It's a weird point in the draft for me. So yeah, he's still probably there, but I think, yeah, maybe the gap is just bigger between those guys.
But I think it's a good point. If his assist do drop, right now he's at 18. He really could fall out to like the 30 or something. So that is fair. I would be a bit worried.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to kill your draft, but just keep it in mind and make sure that I wouldn't be just locking him in away for 5.5 assists. Maybe take it down to like 4, 4.5 would be my projection. All right, let's wrap it up there, mate. We are doing plenty more podcasts. Our next one coming out is going to be a Q&A podcast. We've already collected all the questions, so stay tuned for that, guys. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube and you haven't subscribed, what are you doing? Click subscribe. You'll never miss a video. We're going to be... wrong button. We're doing more videos into the season to help you win your leagues, and make sure you're subscribed. If you're on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating. Make sure you subscribe over there. Follow us on Twitter at BallBoysNBA. And we'll catch you guys next time. Laters.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.